current affairs with an Islamic perspective, an alternative to the mainstream narrative, establishing the truth. This is News Right Now.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to News Right Now. Then they will be overcome. On March 1st, 2018, Jordanian King Abdullah bin Hussein and Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi met in India at a conference titled Islamic Heritage, Promoting Understanding and Moderation. At the conference, the two leaders affirmed their united stance against terrorism, radicalism and extremism. They claimed they were not against any one religion, but rather the mindset which leads our youth to inflict atrocities against the innocent. Modi claimed, "Our democracy is a celebration of our age-old plurality. It gives us confidence about our future, and a rich diversity of traditions gives us strength to fight extremism." The king said, "Today's global war against terror is a fight by moderates of all communities against extremists whose faith is hate and violence. Maybe these despots who speak of moderation and a mindset that inflicts atrocities against the innocent have forgotten the terror and crimes of violence their regimes have waged against the innocent." Did Modi think the world forgot that he oversaw the butchering of thousands of Muslims in Gujarat in 2002 without even a single arrest? While he talks of moderation and tolerance, did Modi think that as Chief Minister of Gujarat, the world forgot his inaction as Hindu mobs burned, hacked, and pillaged Muslims for over 2 months? As he talks about anti-extremism and de-radicalization of youth, did he forget the Hindu ultra-nationalist party to which he belongs, which harasses and attacks Muslims? How is it possible that a man whose rise to power is punctuated by savage violence against Muslims could ever talk about peace, moderation, and de-radicalization? As for King Abdullah of Jordan, as he talks of moderation, did he forget the extremism of Zionists occupying Muslim land in Palestine, who occupy land and kill its people? Did he forget the radicalism of his cohort, Benjamin Netanyahu, who arrogantly expands the Zionist footprint, crushing and starving the Muslims beneath his feet? As he talks of being the custodian of Masjid al-Aqsa, does he do anything to liberate it from the clutches of the illegal occupation it is the victim of? As he talks about anti-terrorism, does he consider the reign of terror that he and his security apparatus spread across his kingdom, arresting the innocent carriers of the Islamic Dawah, while letting the thieves, criminals, and looters among the political class roam free? King Abdullah and his father before him placed their trust in their colonial masters, so how can they lecture us on Islam? Wasn't it King Abdullah's forefather, Sharif Hussein, who allied himself with the British in World War I? Wasn't he the one that abused his power as the custodian of Makkah to counter the jihad against Britain? Didn't he revolt against the Uthmani Khilafah and deceive the Muslims of India so they didn't heed the call of the Khilafah for jihad to fight against the British? Western historian Eugene Rogan documents this history.
"Because the British had no further armies that might deal a defeat to the Ottomans in Ottoman territory. They'd been held in Gallipoli, they'd lost in Kutilamara, and so they turned to the alliance with the Sharifs of Mecca, already referred to, negotiated by that correspondence with Sir Henry McMahon. Now, the idea was, if you could get the senior most religious figures in the Arab world, the Sharifs of Mecca were the highest religious authority in the holiest city of Islam. Mecca, the sort of original city of Islam and the place where the Prophet Muhammad first revealed the religion to the faithful. This was, in the words of George Antonius, the most powerful thunderbolt in the whole jihad strategy. If you could win over Sharif Hussein to an Arab revolt against his Ottoman sovereign, then you would be undermining the credibility of the Sultan and Caliph and weakening the jihad effort.
This is the history of treachery of this family. So how can a Hindu nationalist and colonial puppet lecture the Muslims on Islam? How can they talk about the terrorism, extremism, and radicalism that their own regimes helped create? How can anyone who calls themselves a scholar of Islam sit silently at this mockery? How can any scholar, rather than holding the rulers accountable and telling the oppressors of their oppression, approve of their tyranny? How can the attendees forget that it was the treacherous forefather of King Abdullah, Sharif Hussein of Makkah, who used his role to assist the British in their plans to divide the Uthmani Khilafah? Just as today they are sowing seeds of confusion about Islam, in the past too Sharif Hussein was used to quell the aspirations of the Muslims of India from rising against the British. Behind the theatrics and publicity stunts, Narendra Modi and King Hussein are the last people to speak of tolerance, anti-terror and de-radicalization. Together they fear the rise of Islam and are combating the Islamic revival, which restores both the spiritual and political aspect of Islam. They slander the sincere dawah carriers that work to revive the ummah, and they use their wealth and power to divert people from the path of Allah. But Allah promises that their efforts are in vain.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُنْفِقُونَ أَمْوَالَهُمْ لِيَصُدُّوا عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَسَيُنْفِقُونَهَا ثُمَّ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ حَسْرَةً ثُمَّ يُغْلَبُونَ.
Those who are persistent in unbelief spend their wealth in order that they may bar from Allah's way. They will continue to spend it so until it becomes for them a source of sighs and anguish, and then they will be overcome. Surah Al-Anfal, verse 36. Jazakumullah khair for joining us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Current affairs with an Islamic perspective. An alternative to the mainstream narrative. Establishing the truth. This is News Right Now.